Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello, you're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Mason Dixon, joined once again by Corey, the Bayou Benders. And this is Habs Nightly, your hub for Habs content. All right, guys, we are back once again for another wonderful episode of Habs Nightly. Corey, man, we haven't spoken in a couple days. Things are hectic, but, you know, we did have a fucking amazing game to watch, Habs versus Philly. We had the debut of the reverse retro jerseys. We're going to talk about both of those things. Before we get into that, how are you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm still a little under the weather, but I can breathe again, and that's the main thing. You know, I can get through the day. Yeah, a little overworked right now, but it's coming to an end, and I'll be wishing I was making more money. You know, I'll be back into that swing, but I'll be able to watch that much more hockey and have a life again. So that's fucking awesome. But I'm doing good, dude. I had to work the Saints game today. I couldn't tell you if they won. I don't care. I've just been working my ass off. How are you, bud?
I'm pretty good, man. I went back to Ottawa to visit my sister for the weekend. So that was pretty nice. You know, the New Jersey game was, you know, it was tough because we lost, but the Habs still scored like 4 goals. It was a fun game to watch.
That's
the reverse retros looked
that
gorgeous.
Was Columbus. Yeah.
Or sorry, it was Columbus.
Yeah,
sorry,
no, New Jersey, we got pumped. But I mean, do you want to go straight to that, or you got some more things you want to bring up about your weekend?
Not too much on the weekend. Just went out to the bars with my sister one night.
Nice.
Went out with the lads the other night from Ottawa. So
are you still doing your fake coach thing with the boys?
I am still doing that. That's actually tonight after I'm done recording here.
Oh yeah.
Head out, get the suit on.
That's so sick, dude. I'm not gonna lie. That's some elite level comedy.
Yeah, man. We're the team name is the Mighty Drunks. We have the Atlanta Thrashers jerseys because someone sniped the Mighty Ducks from us, but no, it was good. We won our last game in a fucking shootout.
Yeah, I saw Rylan scored. Your body.
Yeah, did you like my camera work?
That's you on the camera.
Yeah.
Unreal.
I was down the hall and I had to run out, so I was recording it through the boards, but oh, it was a good time, and yeah, it's fun. We got like one or two games a week. It's like an all-star game. Lug's the cool, what do you want to call it, organization.
Well, it looks like the boys are having a lot of fun, and it's really cool to see, like, since it's like not school, you know, like it's not really school-related, I guess, or affiliated.
No, I just affiliation.
Think I just think it's really cool that there's like an outlet like that for y'all, you know?
Oh yeah. It's sick. Like, you said, again, no affiliation with the school. So,
cause that's like the best years to be playing. You know what I'm saying? Like just in college. And if you're not doing it, you know, for your school, just to be doing it has got to be just that much more fun. Because at that point, you know, you're just probably getting fucking wasted, you know.
Actually,
just having fun playing the game.
No alcohol policy for Lug.
Jeez. So no before pops or just after?
No before pops. Just
okay, after. That's fine, dude. Then you're still just playing. You know, it's like a little park league.
Well, exactly. And like I said, I am team coach, so I got to make sure the boys are fit. Ready to take on the day's challenges.
Nice.
All right, but
should have just called them the milk bags.
No milk bags. Well, moving on to maybe some higher level hockey. The Habs did play.
Yeah, let's just briefly talk New Jersey real quick.
You want to talk to New Jersey? Okay.
Well, Evgeny Dadonov had a beautiful goal amongst the fucking onslaught that is New Jersey right now, but it was a sick goal. But more than anything, just we didn't really have a lot of great comments to say about the Canadians reverse retros when they came out. But I guess let's see how we feel about just seeing them on ice. How, you know, like, do you have a different reaction to it now, or?
To the reverse retros?
Yeah, like after seeing them
them on the ice, I thought they were gorgeous.
Okay, yeah. I
only when I saw them on the ice though, I think the red Habs logo is, I just don't like, I don't think it fits.
I think, yeah, I feel that logo.
But I do like them. When I saw them in person, I think they look clean. I'll probably get one now that I've seen them the way they look.
I don't know if I'm gonna get this one.
I don't have the other one, so
I don't either, and I'm really pissed I didn't get the other one. Like, I should have found a way to move money around to get it. The kit is clean though. I don't know, my first comment on it was, okay, it's just our regular pants, but it's got like a nice level of like, there's just like a good balance between like the light blue on, you know, the bottom half to the top. And it's, I guess, fucking if it's not broke, don't fix it, you know, with the regular blue pants. But the red is just a little, it's weird. It kind of looks like something you'd see on like the All-Star jerseys. But it did look good in person. Well, not in person, but as a full kit. The boys did look good in it.
No, yeah, I loved it. And it looks like, however, the Habs reverse retro curse
continues.
still in effect. But, you know, if they're going to lose every game they wear with reverse retros, then I say bring it on.
That's great, because I think we're wearing it like another 9 times.
Well, and like, you can't really. Sorry, they wore them against Columbus, right?
I'm trying to remember.
Am I mistaken?
I know. No, they wore them against New Jersey. I don't think
that was Jersey. Year. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, it was a couple days ago. But losing to New Jersey, like, that team is so fucking hot right now.
I know. And like, I think beyond that, they went on to win like another 2 games.
They're like, still they're winning. Still,
yeah.
They're like a 12-game win streak. It's ridiculous. It's
awesome. Good for them.
It's actually nuts. And the Leafs have randomly soared back into contention too. Yeah, it's just crazy. Like, how, like, I guess we all should have seen how good New Jersey was going to be. I think we all knew they were going to be a good team. But it seemed like they were poised to break out for a while now and hadn't. But once they got rolling, they have not looked back. Jesper Bratt in the 6th round, like, I think after last year and even the season before that, we knew that Jesper Bratt was a player.
Yeah, I've actually, I think this is like my 3rd year grabbing him in fantasy. I think the first year I got him, you know, like midseason, he was just doing a little something. And then the last 2 years I've drafted him. He's been amazing. Yeah.
You could tell you knew he was a player. I don't know if I knew he was going to grow even more off of last year, but he's on pace to shatter his career high. Nico Hischier finally kind of breaking out too. He did so last year with 60 points, 70 games, but he's now over a point a game. Jack Hughes finally healthy. I think everyone in hockey with any sort of knowledge knew that he was going to break out this year. Mm-hmm. Even if, you know, he kind of did so last year too with 56 points in 49 games, but you knew he was going to break out big time this season. He's doing that. They're a well-balanced team. Dougie Hamilton on the back is amazing. Miles Wood has just randomly kind of found a goal-scoring touch for them as an in-depth role. John Marino, great with that top pairing with Dougie Hamilton. Like, I know we're a little off base here talking about the Devils, but this is a really fucking good hockey team. Like, watching them play, like, if they could, you know, get some, what do you want to call it, consistency, some security, if Mackenzie Blackwood becomes healthy and Vanecek has a good backup Tendy, like, and they've got that 1-2 duo, this is a team that I think could make a really deep run in the playoffs this year.
No, absolutely. And they had that the Akira kid came in, and he held his own pretty well too. I think that was like, that's my main thing. It's like, how is goaltending gonna do in the stretch? But this team's just finding a way to make it work. So fun to watch. I guess I little place in my heart just from fucking, you know, running, well, producing that group for THPN until me and you linked up. I got a Taylor Hall New Jersey Devils jersey. I guess in, like, it was, I bought it after I stopped doing the podcast, and I think it was just because like a milestone, I guess we could call it, you know, to look back on, like, never really thought I was going to be a fan of this team, but, you know, recording and doing so much work with them for THPN, kind of made me like a little mini fan. And then, meeting Neil, you know, and Neil's ignorant, fucking overly hyper intense self, really, really makes watching New Jersey fun. But yeah, dude, let's move on, I guess.
Absolutely. Like we said, Habs played Philadelphia on Saturday. Really, really, really good game. Habs continue to claw their way back into it constantly. And then that Cole Caulfield tying goal. Oh my fucking God, that was gorgeous. But before we even get to that, that first line continues to dominate. Yeah. Nick Suzuki had two just amazing assists, two fucking, like, oh my God, I can't even begin to describe how that first pass to Mike Matheson,
mm-hmm,
like, for his first assist of the night, that was so gorgeous. And if you watch in slow-mo, you see he barely glances over his shoulder to see if he's there. He knew exactly where Matheson was going to be, put it on his stick perfectly in the slot off a little spinorama. That was a big goal too. That was to put the Habs ahead. And for it to be Mike Matheson too, in his first game as a Montreal Canadian in his hometown, you could not have drawn that one up better.
No, that was electrifying. Now, I guess before we get a little bit further into the game, Mike Matheson himself finally makes his debut, big game, fucking, I mean, unreal goal for him. But how do you feel about the decision to take out, who was it, Harris, was the outlier in that game?
I don't like it because I think Harris has been one of our best mm-hmm, defensemen.
And then he scored the previous game, if I'm not mistaken, in Columbus. Like, he's...
Yeah, what I don't... like, and that's consensus, I think, among a lot of Habs fans. We mm-hmm all think it was a bad idea. However, I don't agree that Jack Eye should have sat either, because you look at what he did in that game. He took a fight from Delorier. I know people are getting fed up with it, and I think they're fucking stupid. Jack Eye's made a name for himself. Guys want to take him down a notch. That's what's happening. He'll get over it. But what he provides offensively, like, you know, aside from the fact that he has 5 points, 2 goals, and 3 assists, he does drive the offense fairly decently. Like, he plays well. He is effective. Does he take penalties? He takes so many penalties that I feel like it kind of negates it. And if you've seen his JFresh card, you'll know exactly what I mean. Great underlying
straight zero.
But zero due to penalties. I don't think Jack Eye deserves to get out of the lineup either, though. So I think you take Kovacevic out there. But Marty St. Louis did say that it's going to be rotation between Kovacevic, Jack Eye, and Harris. You needed to get Matheson in there. One game isn't going to destroy Jordan Harris's confidence. He knows. Yeah. I think he understands the deal. And it's a learning curve. Jordan Harris was playing 20 minutes a night before that. Okay. He's not, they're not sending him down. He's not going to get benched. I think he's here to stay. And I don't know. I think there's a little bit of an overreaction to that move, to be honest.
Okay. No, that's fair. But I mean, you said what I was going to say. Like, you have to play Matheson. So it's just, you know, who's going to be in the rotation as far as cycling in and out, you know. But yeah, no, Jordan Harris has been playing phenomenal. Jack Eye, I don't see why people are upset with him. You want this team's electrifying. They're fun to watch again. I just saw a fucking tweet saying that this is a playoff caliber team. I think that's a wish. I think the boys are capable of going, I guess getting close to it, but I don't think we're there yet. You want Jack Eye. You want him, you know, with all his penalties. Like, he's perfect for this team right now. Like, he is, you know, doing his part to let the young guys and, well, anybody, he's doing his part to make sure that our scoring is open and nobody is, you know, over, how do you say it? You know, like getting over on us. Like, he's literally, you know, sheriffing the ice for the Habs, and we need that. And the Delorier fight was great. You know, he's taking on fucking big name guys. What's not to like about that?
And like I said, too, he drives offense. I don't care if you think, like, if ignore the penalties. Jack Eye does things, and I'm not shitting on Harris, because Harris does.
Everyone's got a role, well. But that kid just says he's
Jack Eye. Talented. I'm not even saying that Jack Eye does it better than Harris. He does it differently. And I do think it's an element the Habs need. But he does drive the play. He does so effectively, and he's improving every game. I think ideally you don't bench, don't have to bench any of them, because David Savard just isn't on your team. But, you know, it happens. But I don't know. I'm not too worried about Harris sitting for a game too. But what I think is important to not forget, because as enamored as we are with our three, you know, three, we have four rookie defensemen, but our three true rookie defensemen. Let's not forget too that there's another guy who I think, Corey, you and I both thought was going to be on the team this year in the AHL right now, Justin Barron, who has 8 points in 17 games, is a pretty good skater, looked like he fit in the NHL last year. At some point, he's going to get a shot. So I think it'll be – this won't be the first time we have this debate of who should we bench, Harris or Gouley – or not Gouley. Gouley will never be in there. Harris or Jack Eye or Kovacevic. Mm-hmm. Or, I think this is going to be a debate that we have for a very long time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, we've kind of been on this for a while. Like, knowing this was coming, and now we're finally, like, it is a topic every, you know, well, it'll become a topic every other game. because now the boys are finally up. You know, before it was, you know, you got all these kids in the pool that are going to be ready to come up, and now we're seeing what you know type of juggling has to happen to give these guys their reps that, you know, they're proving to be deserving of. But look, there's some really big moments left in this Philly game to talk about. So, I mean, obviously the 1.9 seconds left in the game, Cole Caulfield fucking, tie up, but we touched on Mike Matheson. So that is the next big one. I don't think there was a single Habs fan, whether they're watching the game, they're at work, they're listening to it on the radio, that, you know, didn't get fucking goosebumps, didn't just stop what they were doing and just lose their fucking mind at this play itself. Like, it's not just his goal, because obviously that's why everyone's excited, but like what the guys were able, like capable of doing in those final seconds was so fucking unreal. How do you like what was going on in your head?
Well, like I said, I missed. Like, I was hopping in like an Uber when I watched the whole game. I swear to God, I watched everything except for that last minute because my Uber showed up. But when I watched the highlight, I lost my fucking mind. What a fucking play all around. Just the pressure the Habs maintained in the zone. Kirby Dach is so fucking good on the boards. Like, I want to remind me to get back to that, Corey.
Yeah,
but at the end of the day, it always seems to just, the puck finds a way to Cole Caulfield. And yes, it's because he has a penchant for getting open, as a lot of goal scorers do. Yes, he can shoot the puck like no tomorrow. I think Cole easily should have had a hat trick if it wasn't for Carter Hart stoning him a couple times. Carter Hart played good that game too.
He's been having a great bounce back year.
Absolutely. But the pass from Nick Suzuki, oh my God. It was just, and I think I saw too, there was a quote about Caulfield saying they locked eyes before he made the pass. Caulfield always seems to know where Suzuki is. And I think it's funny because last year there was this narrative that they had no chemistry together, but they seem to be proving that wrong right now, because you watch that play over and over, as I'm doing here right now. Suzuki knew where Caulfield was the whole fucking way. And I think, you know, we're going to talk about them. Not enough credit, I don't think, goes to the rest of the team there. You know, Mike Matheson did a great job QBing that. But yeah, watching that pass again, he just slings it over. Absolute no-looker. It's gorgeous. And the Bell Center has not been, I think, at least, I would say all year, definitely. And Gallagher went out and said it too. The Bell Center was loud. It's one of the loudest I've heard of the Bell Center in a while. So it was definitely a really special moment. And then for the boys to finish it off in the shootout too, that was awesome.
I don't know who it is. But if you rewatch it, and this is something fun for everyone, because I mean, this is a rewatchable clip. But you know, Cole Caulfield scores. I mean, the place lights the fuck up, dude. It gets so fucking loud. You can just, like, the glass is just shaking everywhere. But watch Nick Suzuki as he's coming across the front of the goal. Just does a little stick tap on somebody's shins. I think it's I can't make out what number it is, but I don't know what happened during the game. But gives them a little pop, right on the shin. Maybe it's a friend.
Who was it?
It's something seven. So either 27.
Oh, it was D'Angelo.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was Tony D'Angelo. So you know something was probably said.
Yeah, so I'm sure like there was like something throughout the game that was, you know, who knows? Suzuki's a class guy, but it's like little subtle things like that. Like, I think
Suzuki's a class guy, but I don't think we give him enough.
No, he definitely has.
He's cheeky.
Dude, you remember he gave a little dust tap. Up? Yeah, head tap on fucking
as a rookie.
Carter Hart. Like, dude, Philly is definitely, you know, you see some of his funnest games for Nick Suzuki against Philly.
There is an underrated intensity to Habs Philly games these past few years, and I think it all stems from
the bubble,
that playoff series that the Habs, you know, they had a few
should have won.
Should have won. Really, they outplayed them. Yeah. No, I do love to see that. I love the cheekiness to his game.
Yeah, all around great guy.
But yeah, sorry. Circling back, because just something I noticed in that game, especially, and we talk. It seems like we talk about him every fucking. Actually, no. Sorry. Before I go to Kirby Doc, also want to highlight Nick Suzuki now top 10 in NHL scoring.
Hell yeah.
On the most inflated shooting percentage I think I've ever seen at 27.5. That's going to come back down to earth for sure. But it's funny, a couple days after we're talking about it, he goes and, you know, puts two dimes, dishes them out for Cole Caulfield for another 2-point night. He's been playing absolutely incredibly. Yeah, big praise to Nick Suzuki. I think he's also like, he's got to be top 10 in goals too, right?
Let's have a look.
He is ninth and tied for sixth in goals. Only five players have more goals than him. He's on an absolute tear to start this season. But yes, Kirby Doc on the boards. You know, we've spoken a lot about his playmaking ability, his skill, how he fits in. He very rarely loses a battle on the boards. I'm not sure if you've noticed this, Corey, but he prolongs the offensive zone time for Caulfield and Suzuki like exponentially. And it's just with the great little stick lifts and having that reach. And, you know, we used to hear Dave Poulin say it all the time on the Habs broadcast, even though he's doing it less now. He would say, if you were a good offensive player, you can be a good defensive player. And Kirby Doc's kind of offensive zone defensive stick where he's, you know, stealing the puck back and working hard. It's really impressed me this season, and it's not something I knew he had in his arsenal.
No, absolutely. His ability to keep the play alive or extend it, like he said, that's a great point. His just arsenal is so big, and I guess that's something we never really watched before, because we haven't had, you know, this many watching eyes on him. But you know, to not only just be, you know, effective offensively, but he's like you know, what was our first, you know, take on him when we brought him up on this season was, you know, what to expect from him. Like, what was the point totals that we thought was needed for him to be worth our time, or like, you know, to see like if he was going to have, longevity with us, a bounce back maybe. And it's now it's like having a couple of games under our belt to be able to watch him. You just see how like well thought out his game is, and just really how skillful he is, you know, just beyond you know, offensive chances. Like, his boards work is unreal. I don't see a lot of people critiquing, you know, his strength at all anymore. It's his mind for the game is just second to none.
No, absolutely. I think he does think the game really well too. But I just think like the tool set is so diverse. And I think that what we're seeing here is him using that brain to understand that what he needs to do to augment himself to then improve the play of Suzuki and Caulfield. I think what we've been seeing is amazing.
No, absolutely. Like, just keep it, just keep it alive, you know?
No, absolutely. And if you had told me at the start of the season that he would be a point off a point per game at this junction of the season, I would have said, you're crazy. And I probably would not have bet money on that. However, if I were to, I would use DraftKings, and I think we have a word from them.
Absolutely. Hockey fans, light the lamp this winter with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. New customers can bet just $5 pregame money line on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. If that wasn't enough excitement, you can turn small bets into bigger payouts with same game parlays, combine multiple bets like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more for your shot in an even bigger payout. Y'all remember to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN, bet $5 on any NHL team to win their game, and get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN, as in the Hockey Podcast Network. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See the show notes for details. All right, dude, you're getting so good at these little transitions.
All right, well, yeah, thank you for that. So we've kind of spoken, you know, about Caulfield Suzuki Doc a lot lately. We didn't talk, I don't think, enough about Mike Matheson there at the first kind of half.
Yeah.
So why don't we give him some time in the limelight? I know, Corey, you didn't really get to watch the game, but
yeah. So how do you? Yeah.
Sorry, what?
No. I was gonna say, so how do you? You know, how did you like his game?
I thought he played great. I thought he provided everything we kind of saw in the preseason. I think a lot of us forgot about what he could bring, but he scored a goal. I think he had a little bit of a rough start, shaking off the rust, but the offense is there. The brain, the hockey brain, he provides something that I don't think anyone else on the Habs can provide at that level yet, except maybe Kate Cooley. I still think Mike Matheson's better at it. He's the guy you need. You need him on your power play. Abso-fucking-lutely you do. And I think as the games continue to go forward and he gets the rust off completely, starts to get into the lineup, I think he's going to fit into this team perfectly. I think Mike Matheson's a guy that I think he can stick around. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he is a veteran presence on a competing team in a couple of years.
No, I think that's fair to say. And a hometown type of guy, you know, like this is, I'm not going to say this is the end, you know, he's on the end of his, or the second half of his career, but you could see this guy, you know, like what better place to be than in your hometown and like be excited to play for your hometown in a time where the team is actually, you know, reintroducing itself, like this new era of Habs. What better time to go and play for your hometown, your favorite team growing up, and, you know, be in the wonder years of your career. Like, this is, we're going to see some top-notch Mike Matheson.
No, absolutely. I think it's a little early to say that he's maybe the solution. I just think that he's...
I'm not calling him the solution.
No, I'm saying, as a sense of, like, I don't know how he's going to play for the rest of the season, but through preseason, through watching him in Florida, watching him in Pittsburgh, watching even that one game, I think he's a guy that fits the system very well.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a Marty St. Louis player for sure. And
definitely a guy that will adapt to the system.
Yeah. And we know he's definitely a Kent Hughes guy. So it's interesting. Interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see where where he is in the next few years if he's still with the Habs. I would put money on him still being in the Habs uniform come the next three seasons or so.
He just comes off as a guy that he knows his game, but he has no problem adjusting it to be here. Like, he just comes off as like a very humbling, like, I'll do whatever it takes to play here. And I think he'd do that for any team he's on, but like this one is just that much more important.
No, fuck, I was muted. Sorry. No, I agree. I think he's going to be a strong veteran presence. I guess we'll kind of end things off here. Unless you have something else, unless I'm forgetting something we discussed previously, Corey, jump in if I am.
I don't think we are. I think we covered everything we wanted to.
Okay, well, before we kind of end things out here, we'll just last little spiel. We're getting kind of into the season now. We're about almost 20 games in. Look, there's still a lot of hockey to be played. We're about the quarter mark. I just want to know, you know, you got to start thinking about trades soon. I know that, you know, not quite yet. It's not quite the time. But, you know, we got to start thinking about it. And honestly, the more I look at it, the more I analyze it, I don't think the Habs have the trade bait we thought they might going into the season. Sean Monahan has 10 points in 18 games. I think he's doing well. I think he's going to continue to improve. I think he's absolutely trade bait. Dvorak has 9 and 18. Hoffman has 8 and 16. Anderson has 7 and 16. Savard, 6 points in 18 games. You're not really trading for his point production, but, you know, it's there, I guess. Drouin, only 4 and 12. Mike, like, Dadonov has 1 goal in 14 games. Armia's played 7 games, hasn't registered a point. I think a lot of people need to temper expectations for the next 20 games here, because as of right now, you look at the Habs stats, there are 3, maybe 4 forwards, if you want to include Monahan, that are carrying all the burden. Mm-hmm. Maybe give Dvorak a little bit of a shout too, although I think he's been lacking in a lot of areas. It's tough. It's a one-line team. We really are. We're like the Dallas Stars a couple of years ago. So in kind of getting to my point here, how do you think this bodes for the Habs? Because I'm looking at pieces like Hoffman, Anderson, Drouin, Dadonov especially, who I think a lot of, you know, a lot of Habs fans were expecting that we were going to get some stuff back for them. Yeah. And if they continue with this production, you're not only not going to get first round or second round picks, you may not get anything for these guys.
I think they're still their placeholders for guys on the team. Yes, our ideas were inflated at the time, you know, and you still want them to be, but they're not. And we're just going to have to take it for what it is. They might become like bundles, you know, as we expected them to find momentum with this team and then be good, you know, material on their own, but they might have to be package type of deals to move on. Yeah, I think you said it pretty well. I think it's going to, we're not going to be having the unreal return that we expected, but I think that's okay. You trust the system and trust Hughes and Gordon. I think they'll find a way to make something work in our favor. And, you know, it's not what we expected, but if anything, Mike Hoffman is still, you know, we could probably get something really nice for him, especially the way he's been playing.
Does it not concern you, though, that, like, Dadonov, for example, isn't – like, you want to trade that guy?
No, absolutely. Yeah, it is very concerning because you're picking him up as being a placeholder and someone who has found success in the past, and he's not doing it with this team. And it's looking like a failing asset that's – going to be a burden on us later.
It's a depreciating asset that we did get for nothing.
I think realistically, I think there's going to be a lot of guys that are just we got you. We didn't make a big sacrifice to get you. Unfortunately, we're not gaining something to get rid of you. I don't know. I guess that is the gamble, you know. It is tough, you know, as a fan, but I don't, if he's not worth, if no one's going to take him for what we expect.
Guess what I'm trying to get at?
Go ahead.
And what I'm trying to get at in saying that is that I think a lot of, and I know we discussed it, but a lot of fans and analysts were talking about, you know, the Habs' ability to acquire even more draft picks this season based on the fact that Sean Monahan, of course, is a guy that's going to get shopped. They were talking about Dvorak. They were talking about Hoffman. They were talking about Dadonov was a big one too.
Yeah.
Savard, whatever, right? And it seems to me like that was a big part of Ken Hughes' plan. I don't think it was. I don't think it's, oh, they're placeholders and we should just, you know, take it as a bonus if we can get something for them. I think this, you cannot tell me that this was not a meticulously thought out strategy in which the Habs said, we're going to get guys for cheap that we know can produce with chances, and we know they're on expiring contracts and we'll be able to ship them off for something. I'm not saying first round picks necessarily, but something, right?
I think we're still going to get something.
I don't think you're going to get anything for Dadonov if he has 6 points in 40 games, right? That's kind of what I'm getting at. And I think it's okay to be optimistic, which we are. I'm not upset with the direction. I'm not upset with Kent Hughes. None of this is his, you know, the way they're playing is not his fault. However, I am saying, I think there is cause for concern among Habs fans, because I think this was a big part of Kent Hughes' strategy and we're kind of witnessing it fall apart.
I think it's a little, I don't know. I think this idea is a little inflated just a bit. I think there's a lot of people that are forgetting what this man has already done. And I know it's not a, you know.
What man, sorry?
Kent Hughes and Jeff Gordon.
Well, I'm not saying like his grand plan has fallen apart. I'm not saying it's going to ruin the rebuild if we don't get these picks. What I'm saying is, though, I don't think it's a kind of bonus if we got the – I think we should be relying on getting those picks. Like, it's something that we should have been fairly comfortable in assuming, and I think a lot of us were, and I think Kent Hughes was.
So I think we – but, I mean, we also anticipated this team to be, like, bone dry, and they're not. They're, like, being successful too, so it's also tough on us, and I guess this is where, you know, this nervousness is coming from is the fact that we were playing a fun style of hockey and we're actually winning games, you know. So where we're going to lie is still up in the mix right now too, as you know, for the draft. It's tough. We're just, as of now, not getting as much as we expected. And, you know, I think that's going to turn a lot of fans, but they'll find a way to do something with it.
No, that's fair.
I still think it's a bit early. I know we're coming in on 20 and, you know, that's not really early anymore, but I think as far as what, you know, I don't know. This is a tough one. I think there's still enough time for some of these guys to find their rhythm. Maybe not the best example, but Arturi Lehkonen last year kind of found it right at the back end, became unreal, and was moved immediately.
Okay, but I would argue, like, my argument to that is Arturi Lehkonen provides a lot to, well, for one, there was control. Yeah. Arturi Lehkonen was an RFA. Two, pedigree. Like, Lehkonen has big, he's a playoff performer.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And most importantly, Arturi Lehkonen is one of the most effective off puck players in the NHL. Like, what he provides on the forecheck and what he provides defensively are invaluable to the Colorado Avalanche. That's why they were willing to give up so much for him.
Right.
Despite the fact that he wasn't scoring, and they gambled, and the scoring touch came later. I have no doubt in my mind, if Colorado picked up Mike Hoffman, he would start scoring goals, right? And I don't think that's the question for a lot of teams. The difference is that Mike Hoffman, Dodonov kills some penalties, and you can give him a little, but I don't think he's a specialist at it. Mike Hoffman, Dodonov, Anderson, who else? There was one other that I named. I'm drawing a blank. They don't provide anything else. They provide offense. So, Drouin, that was the other one. Mm-hmm. So when they're not scoring, I don't see what they provide as valuable to a team, because none of them, the other thing is none of them are like veteran gritty guys that you can say, oh, they've been on a run, they'll provide leadership.
Right.
Like Mike Hoffman, I would not say is the epitome of leadership in the National Hockey League. Based on
that's fair.
What may or may not have happened with
his
wife. But so I just don't see, if I'm a GM and all I know is Mike Hoffman scores goals, Jonathan Drouin provides offense, Josh Anderson is a big freight train who can score, and none of them are doing it, I'm not gonna be that antsy to give up any like my draft picks, especially given how valuable salary cap space is in today's NHL. And all four of the guys I mentioned, or sorry, three other than Hoffman, make north of $5 million a year.
Yeah.
But
time will tell. I think let's revisit this in, I don't know, let's say another 15 games. We'll just take it a step at a time.
All right. Well, speaking of taking it a step at a time, I think we've, kind of given up all the content we can for today, unless you have anything else you'd like to comment on.
No, that's it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Corey, for, I know that you've had a fucking busy week, so I appreciate you getting on here with me. It was nice of us to catch up. It was nice talking to all of you guys once again. Appreciate you guys coming by, listening, supporting the podcast. You can find us at Habs Nightly on Twitter and Instagram, and at the Bayou Benders, at Bayou Benders on Twitter and Instagram. Give a follow, leave us a message at HabsNightly@gmail.com. If you have any questions or inquiries, you want to reach out to us, we do check it. And without further ado, that'll be it for today. We'll speak to you guys on Thursday.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.